Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Michelle Cachet. I'm your co-host today, and I'm sitting in the studio with Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great.
Are you dreaming big?
I am.
Good. I'm glad to hear
Absolutely.
It. Most of us have dreams that we nurture and want to accomplish. I would say the vast majority of us have some kind of dream we're aspiring to. But those things don't just happen. We have to have some kind of intentionality or plan in place to actually make those dreams come true, correct?
That is so true, because a lot of people live in the land of woulda, coulda, shoulda, and they're dreaming about things that they want, but they're not actively taking steps to accomplish them. And so that linkage between what you want and actually getting it is a specific technology or process, but there's a way to do it. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this episode.
Absolutely. I know this is a big subject for you, very, very yep. important, because we're talking all about goal setting. So how to overcome your biggest goal setting struggles so that you can actually achieve your dream. And today, Michael's going to walk through 10 different struggles that many of us face on that road to achieving our dream. You're going to help answer a lot of our questions, a lot of the yep. things that come up that we face, so that hopefully we can get on the right track. We're actually approaching the end of the year at the time of recording this.
Yep.
And so we want to be able to start off the next year, 2016, on the best possible foot. But the truth is we can put these into place anytime.
Absolutely. You know, there's something about this time of year when people begin to think about the new year that their minds naturally go toward planning, because mm-hmm. you realize that this next year is a blank slate, that it hasn't been created yet, that you can make it anything you want. But the real truth is that that's true for every day. You know, the rest of this day is a blank slate. Next year is a blank canvas. We can create it anytime. You know, it's just a matter of getting the intention to do so and launching out on it. And the thing that excites me about this episode is that all these questions are the questions that we get all year long mm-hmm. from people who have a dream, who want to accomplish it, and they're stuck at some point.
Okay, so now before I start this, we need to know that we can feel you. So tell us if you've ever had any struggles with goals.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Because it seems so natural for you. So we want to hear about, I don't know, some colossal failure or some way that a goal did not work out, or you didn't establish the right goal and your dream didn't happen, something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm struggling with right now. Can I do
okay,
that?
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, so I had a goal as I came into this new year that I wanted a certain weight loss goal, okay? So it was actually, I measured it in terms of how lean I was.
Okay.
And I have done about 4 strategies this year. I've shifted my strategy 4 okay. times, and I'm still not there. And I'm not making the progress, but I've not given up.
So here we are toward the end of the year, and you're still hanging in there.
I'm still hanging in there because there's still time on the clock.
Okay.
And so the one thing I know that I can do to guarantee failure is to walk off the field before the whistle blows.
We've talked about that. So important. Play all out to the end.
Yep, play it all out to the end, because you never know. Mm-hmm. You know, the strategy might be just around the corner. Here's what I do know. I'm clear on what I want. I know why it's important to me.
Okay.
And now it's just a question of finding the right strategy.
The right fit.
And not giving up. And I'm not going to give up. But I just want to make the point that I'm way past the due date when I wanted to achieve okay. this. And there's some possibility I won't achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Well, the good news is if you've ruled out 4 ways that haven't worked,
yeah, exactly.
you're one step closer to the right one.
Yeah. There's that story about Thomas Edison where, I don't know, he tried like 10,000 different things and inventing the light bulb. And somebody said, well, aren't you discouraged now? And he said, no, I know 10,000 things that don't work.
That's so true. So there you go. You're already 4,
that's right.
4 strategies ahead. Okay. So let's talk about some of these different goal setting struggles, which, as you mentioned, we've heard from you as listeners, as viewers, things that you're dealing with on a daily basis when it comes to your goals and what keeps you from achieving them. So what would be the first struggle that we hear about?
Well, the one I hear a lot from a lot of people is, how should I prioritize my goals?
Okay.
Well, reality is you need priorities. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not every goal has the same priority as other goals. You know, my goals for my health, for me, are paramount, because if I'm not taking care of myself, I'm not really of much use to anybody else.
Okay.
So if I don't keep myself in good shape, energetic, fit, all the rest, it's not going to be long before that's going to cascade into my marriage before it cascades into my business. And I just don't have the energy or the stamina to do what I really want to do. I've got some big goals, and it really comes down to my health first. Then my relational goals are really important. My relationship with Gail, we've been married for 37 years.
Okay. That deserves an acknowledgement. Well done.
Thank you.
Gail's amazing.
So, she is amazing.
So that helps, right?
Yeah, it does.
Those of us that are married to amazing people, it helps us to achieve our goals.
It helps, and I can't claim any credit for it. But I will say this, our relationship just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just because we got lucky. I did, she didn't. But it's not because of luck, but it was because we intentionally set goals for our relationship and for our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of are my next block of goals. And there's, you know, my work. And where does that all fit into it? And for me as a person of faith, you know, honestly, number one is God. You know,
yes.
that's like my, kind of my first priority. And then self, and then my family, and then my work. And whenever I get that turned around, and a lot of people do this, they put their health last, and they say to you things like, I don't have time to work out,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I'm in such a hurry, I don't really have time to shop and eat well. Well, okay. I mean, I get that that happens, for mm-hmm. sure.
Well, seasons, there's days or weeks.
There are seasons, but the truth is that those days can become weeks, can become months, can become a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you get to these health problems that could have been avoided if you had given attention to that on the front end.
Now, what about that person who says, you know, all four of those priorities, God, marriage, family, work, relationships, are all, and health, are all equally important. They're all the same. I don't want to have to rank one over the other. But doesn't that create an issue when you have to be, when two different goals comes up against each other and you have to make a decision, right?
Yeah, because that often happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, you want to advance in your career, but then at the last minute, your boss gives you some task to do when you had promised your wife that you would be at your son's soccer game. And so you've got to decide which goal takes precedent over the other one. And if you're going to live a priority-based life, it's important to have these clarified. And I try to list my goals from the most important to the least important so that I'm clear on those priorities all mm-hmm. through the year.
And establishing those priorities outside of the moment of tension is critical because mm-hmm. in the moment, who knows what you'll decide. Okay, so the first struggle is how to prioritize goals. What's the second?
The second one, we get this question a lot too. What kind of system should I establish to achieve my goals? And I would say that the number one reason people don't accomplish their goals, actually, let me give you two. Number one, clarity. So they're not clear about what it is that they want.
Okay.
Until you get clear about what you want, your chances of achieving it are slim and none. So it's really important to work on that clarity and to be as specific and as objective as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So in my particular case, when I was talking about that weight loss goal or that lean body mass goal, I was very specific what I wanted to have as my lean body mass expressed as a percentage of my total weight. It could be a date that you want to achieve something. You want to launch a business or you want to finish a manuscript or any number of things. But the more specific, the more clear you can become, the faster you will accelerate towards the goal. So that's number one. Number two, as it relates to a system, though, is that the problem is people lose visibility on the goal. You know, they set the goal, they're enthusiastic about it, then they slide it into a desk drawer and forget about it.
Or they never even write it down in the first place.
Yeah.
So then it slips your mind.
Yeah. And so you can see on the laptop behind me that I've got my goals for this year constantly on a screensaver circulating. And I've got another set hanging on the wall over here, because I don't want to lose visibility of the goals. So I'm constantly looking at my goals. So then the question becomes, what's the system?
Okay.
So for me, the system is this. First of all, you got to write down the goals. Second of all, you've got to review them on a regular basis.
Okay.
And best case is daily. So I allow a time in my quiet time in the morning, for me, after I've prayed, after I've read the Bible, before I exercise, I'm going to review my goals, what those are.
It only takes a minute. Right?
It only takes a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And I have them in Evernote. We'll get to this in a minute about that kind of system. But I put them in Evernote, so I just review them, and I just want to just go, okay, is there something I could do today to advance the ball down the field? Okay. So at the least, you know, that's the best case scenario, daily. But if not that, at least weekly.
Okay.
If you lose visibility of your goals, you will fail.
Mm.
You've got to keep them visible.
Okay, good advice. Okay, so after you establish some kind of system, so you've prioritized your goal, that's one of the questions or struggles we hear about. The second is what kind of system that we use in order to accomplish those. What's another struggle or question we receive?
Is there a right number?
Of goals, okay.
Of goals. Too many or too few?
I hear this question all the time, yeah.
I had somebody that was working for me when I was the CEO of Thomas Nelson who came to me, and I bet they had maybe more than 30 goals. Now, they had cleverly arranged them by category. So they thought they were okay.
Uh-huh.
But I said, there's no way.
Too much.
It's too much. All the research shows that you really can't hold in your mind or focus on more than about 7 to 10 things at any one time.
And I'm looking at your list over there, and it looks like there's about 9.
Yeah, yeah,
eight
exactly.
8 or 9.
Yeah, 9.
So, okay.
So 7 to 10 is the best number.
Okay.
If you have less than 7, you're probably not addressing all the major areas of your life.
Or maybe you're being too general and not specific enough.
Yep. And a lot of times people, when it comes to goal setting, they think of it with respect to their career, but they don't think of it with respect to their personal life, like their health, like their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you need at least 7 to address all those major areas of life. In my new book, Living Forward, I talk about the 9 major areas of life, and certainly you don't have to have a goal for all of those, but there are at least 9 different areas that you could have goals in.
Which, by the way, for the listeners, make sure you mark, it's coming out in March, so it's coming out quickly. You want to get that.
Yep.
So
Living Forward is the title.
Uh-huh.
I think once you have more than 10, then it's going to be really difficult for you to give the focus you need to really achieve those goals.
Yeah.
So you can't have 10 that you're working on all at once either. So I try to spread the due dates out throughout the year so that I'm not just focused on 10 different things I have to do and feeling overwhelmed. But usually I've got a couple every quarter that I'm focused on delivering.
Okay, but 7 to 10 is the magic range.
7 to 10 is
okay. That's the right number. Okay, the next question or struggle that we hear about with regard to goal setting.
Yeah, it's this one. It's how important is it to track my goals, or how do I track my goals? And we'll talk about that one in the next question about how to track them. But I think it's very important. You know, somebody once said, it might have been Peter Drucker, I can't remember, but you can't improve what you don't measure. And so to track them and be aware allows you to make course corrections so that when you begin to get off course a little bit, or like with my weight loss goal, it's critically important for me to track that to see if I'm making an improvement or not. Unfortunately, the dial's not moving much, but that tells me that I'm not achieving my goal. So I need to try another strategy. So I'm doing a strategy, I'm trying it for a couple of months. If it doesn't work, then I switch to something else. So I'm gonna eventually get there, I'm determined. But tracking your goals, I think, is really important.
Okay.
Keeping track of your progress.
Well, and it's all part of keeping it visible, keeping it in front of your mind. And then, okay, so now that leads perfectly into the next question. When it comes to what kind of apps or what kind of method do you use to track your goals? So what do you recommend?
I think you could really get geeky on this and over-track and spend all your time tracking or recording that you don't really allow enough time to actually accomplish the goal. So we don't want that. So let me tell you about a couple different ones.
Okay.
First of all, you could find dedicated goal setting apps like Strides, S-T-R-I-D-E-S, Strides, which is probably my favorite dedicated goal app. And it allows you to track 3 different kinds of goals because you've got habit goals, you've got terminal goals where they end on a certain date and so forth.
Now, is this a free app or a paid app?
I think it's a paid app.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's
but probably nominal.
Yeah, it's nominal. I mean, yeah, it's going to be nominal. I don't know, $4 or $5. What you can use, though, is Evernote. And in fact,
which I've used.
Yeah, it's a great way to do it. And in my goal setting course, 5 Days to Your Best Year Ever, I walk you through the process in a screencast of how to use Evernote to track your goals. What I actually use, though, is Nozbe, which is my task manager. So I take each of my goals, my 9 goals, they become their own project. And then inside of that project, I have the tasks that are required for me to achieve that goal. And the last task is achieve my goal. You know, and so that when I do that, I finished with the project, I've achieved my goal, it's all good.
So the goal itself is a project.
That's right.
And then you break it down into tasks,
right,
or steps.
Okay. Now, I don't usually break down all those tasks on the front end of planning. I'll dump as many of them as I, many tasks as I know it's going to be required as I think of them. But then really through the course of the year, I'm constantly adding, adjusting.
Well, because you don't always know what it's going to entail until you get into it.
That's right. I rarely see the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest way to get clarity on your goal is to take a step in the direction of the goal.
Okay.
So a lot of times it's like a sign that's off in the distance and it's a little bit out of focus. And so you have to take a step toward it to see it. Well, the tasks that are required to get to the destination you want to get to are a little bit fuzzy sometimes. But if you'll just do what you know you need to do to move yourself forward, then the path opens up and you'll see more steps that are required and possible.
All right. Well, today we're talking about, we're answering your questions to the struggles you have with goal setting, those things that get in the way of you achieving the dream that you have. So far, we've talked about five of those questions. They are, how should I prioritize goals? What kind of system should I establish? Is there a right number of goals, like too many or too few? How important is it to track my goals? And number five, what app should I use to track those goals? We have five more coming up, so stick with us. We'll be right back.
Has this ever happened to you? You write a list of goals with the best of intentions. You're excited, motivated for a few weeks, and then life gets in the way. You get distracted or discouraged. You stop moving toward what really inspires you. If you want to achieve what matters most, traditional goal setting will only get you so far. What you need is a proven plan. Well, I've got a proven plan and I'd like to share it with you. I've just released a brand new free video series entitled Design Your Life. And in this three-part video series, I share my proven system to stop drifting and finally achieve your best year ever. It starts by helping you answer three simple but powerful questions that will put you back in the driver's seat. And it shows you how to literally map your entire year on paper so you know how to get where you want to go without getting lost along the way. To get access to Design Your Life, just go to bestyearever.me and enter your email address in the space provided. If you're tired of making goals but not achieving them, don't miss your chance to discover how to stop drifting and start making meaningful progress in your life. Sign up today at bestyearever.me.
Today, we're talking about how to overcome your greatest struggles in goal setting, where we're answering your questions. These are the questions that we hear again and again on This Is Your Life about how to overcome those roadblocks to setting goals and actually achieving your dreams. So far, Michael's answered five of those questions. We still have five more, so we're going to dig right in. The sixth question that we often hear is, how often should I review and adjust my goals throughout the year? Well, such a great question.
It is a great question. You can do it as much as you want, but I wouldn't do it too often. But what I find is that in the pursuit of any goal, once I've begun to pursue it, I'm going to start hitting obstacles and challenges and roadblocks. I'm going to know a lot more when I'm into the pursuit of the goal than I am at the beginning, before I've started. So that's an opportunity to revise. But I really think it comes down to three possible actions you can take when you're in that messy middle and you're not sure you're going to achieve the goal, you think maybe you got a shot at missing it.
Okay.
So number one, you can recommit to the goal. Okay, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in the next question, but you can recommit. You know, maybe just for whatever reason, you've lost visibility of that goal, or it doesn't seem as important, or you've gotten sidetracked or distracted with other areas of your life. But there's an opportunity to recommit, to reconnect with what's really at stake and why you want to achieve it. So that's number one.
Okay, recommit.
Number two is revise. There's nothing wrong with revising a goal, you know?
And sometimes you have better information halfway through.
That's right.
And that revision is actually smart.
Yeah. As long as, I mean, it's just kind of my goal setting philosophy, but I never want to set a goal that's inside the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because that doesn't require any growth. If it's inside my comfort zone, I already know how to accomplish it. And it's just not challenging. And all the research shows that if you really want to up your chances of achieving the goal, it's got to be outside of your comfort zone and it's got to be big enough to ignite your imagination.
Okay.
So that you're fully engaged. So I don't want to revise it because of that, because I'm trying to get it inside my comfort zone and now I'm scared. Because if I feel fear, uncertainty, or doubt, those three emotions,
mm-hmm.
those are welcome signs. That indicates that I'm in the discomfort zone, and that's exactly where I want to be.
That's a good thing. We think it's bad, but it's a good thing.
But there are occasions when you want to revise your goal, and that's perfectly fine as long as it's not done out of fear.
Okay.
But if you're just saying, okay, I'm better informed now. I realize that the goal I had set is probably a little too crazy, and I'm going to dial it back and give myself a chance. Or sometimes, this happens to me occasionally, what was I thinking? I was shooting way too low. Mm-hmm. We can do 2x that or 3x that. So I'm going to dial it up so that it's in the appropriate place.
And occasionally, as I've experienced this year, is life happens and you have to revise your goals based on just circumstances happen. You have to push back a date. I had to change my book deadline, things like that, for circumstances beyond your control. But rather than view it as a failure, it's just revising.
That's right. Okay. So recommit.
Recommit.
Revise.
Revise.
Remove.
Okay.
There are sometimes, because of life circumstances or because of something that has happened in the macro environment or something in your own environment, that goal is just no longer relevant.
Okay.
You know, and so you need to remove it. I can think of in the corporate world where perhaps we were pursuing the acquisition of a company. We got some new data in that said that wouldn't have been a good acquisition. So even though that was a goal, we said, we're going to remove that because we no longer want to buy that company. So removing the goal is perfectly legitimate.
Okay.
But I would do it in that order. Removal of the goal is the last resort.
Okay.
So first thing I want to try to do is recommit to it if I can.
Okay.
Second thing, revise it if I can't recommit. And then remove it if I can't recommit or revise.
All right, makes sense. And this is all in answer to that question of how often you should review or adjust your goals throughout the year.
Right.
And that gives you a great structure or process to follow to make that happen. The seventh question we often hear is, how do I generate ongoing enthusiasm and motivation for a goal during the slumps? Because there's always a slump.
Yeah. And anybody can have that initial enthusiasm. You know, we get excited about the possibilities. But this is why I teach in 5 days to your best year ever. And it sounds like I'm promoting that course, so that's because I am. Because registration is about to open, or by the time people are listening to it, it is open, and we only open it one time a year.
Yep, only once a year.
But this is a phenomenal course. We've had almost 10,000 people go through this course, and it's been transformative to thousands of people who have gone through it.
Well, I think the key of its success is kind of what we're talking about here. There's something about doing this with a bunch of people at the same time that helps generate enthusiasm and motivation for what you're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely. So we always see that enthusiasm at the beginning, but I take you through a process in 5 days to your best year ever. It's actually in day four, where I teach you how to get in touch and really connect with your core motivation.
Okay.
So to identify it. So most people just get the goal and then they start pursuing it. But inevitably, in the pursuit of any meaningful goal, you're going to hit the messy middle. And the messy middle is that point of no return where you're in too far to quit, but you're not sure you have the strength to finish.
Yes.
And so despair sinks in, discouragement.
Sometimes just boredom.
You want to quit.
Yeah.
So that's why at the beginning of the process, you need to write down your key motivations. What is at stake? Why do I want to achieve this? You know, so you've got to connect with your why. Mm-hmm. Why is it important for you to achieve it? What's at stake? What will you lose if you don't achieve it? So then when you get into the messy middle, you can go back and review those motivations and hopefully reconnect emotionally so that you build up ahead of steam to finish.
All right. Such good advice there. Let's move on to the eighth question, which always comes up when we're talking about goals. How do you handle a failure or an unrealized goal? What do you do then? Because it's going to happen.
Yeah. For me, it used to be kind of devastating. Mm-hmm. You know, because I felt like it was a reflection on my competence or my worth as an individual, and I internalized it. So I failed to hit that goal, therefore I must be a failure. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do this. And nothing could be more detrimental to the human spirit than that. So you've got to avoid that. And part of that happens with reframing it. You know, failure isn't final, it's only feedback.
Hmm.
Okay? Failure isn't final, it's only feedback. So you learn from failure. Some of the best lessons I've ever learned in my life was because I failed, fell flat on my face. You know, I went through a really significant business failure in the early 90s. Was catastrophic. I lost my business. I almost lost my home. It was a lean time when we had people from church bringing us groceries. That's how bad it was. I wouldn't want to repeat that for anything in the world, but I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world either.
Isn't that the truth? Some of those things that are the most painful are the most valuable.
Well, and you've been through that also. Not exactly the same way.
But, not the same way, but still, the point is very valid that, you know, if you call it a failure and feel like it's a failure and put a period at the end of that sentence, then it is.
That's right.
But if you can shift it and transform it and see it as some kind of opportunity to learn or grow, then it becomes a springboard for your goal.
Well, and the thing that I think is so important for us, and I got this from Tony Robbins, but he says your past does not equal your future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So just because something happened in the past and you failed, I mean, just because I had that business failure does not mean that I'm doomed in business. I wanted to be very successful. In fact, I think the seeds of my success were planted in that failure because I grew and I learned and it affected my character and all the rest. So you have to reframe failure. But I'll say this, you have to complete it. And by complete it, there's got to be a process that you go through to process the failure so that it doesn't come out in unhealthy ways. And I actually do that in day two of 5 Days to Your Best Year Ever. Take you through 7 questions to process the failure so that it doesn't rear its ugly head when you least expect it and sabotage your success. Mm-hmm. So we have to get complete, close that chapter, make sure that we've processed it, we've wrung all the juice out of it we can, but that it's not dogging us so that we haven't internalized it. We don't think we're a failure, but we can say, no, that was feedback. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I learned so much. And that's why I'm better equipped to succeed in the future.
And you can't pay for that kind of feedback.
You can't.
I was having a conversation with my 18-year-old the other day because he had gone through a significant rejection failure. Significant. And which you don't think of 18-year-olds having that, but he had gone through a significant one. And I told him, I said, here's the deal, bud. I said, leaders, the best leaders are not made in successes, they're made in failure.
So true.
So if you really want to become the kind of leader that he's always told me he wanted to be, I said, you just got your best classroom experience right now. So it's all up to you what you do with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can't resent those failures, but we have to learn to embrace them and use them to our benefit.
All right, so great question there. Number 9, the 9th question that we hear quite often when it comes to goal setting struggles is it better to share your goals, like public, for the sake of accountability, like put it out there online or share it with a group of people, or is it better to keep them private?
Yeah, great question. I used to think that if I would share my goals publicly, then it would create more leverage for me to actually achieve them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first time I ran a half marathon, I wrote about it on my blog, I shared it with the world. Thankfully, I went ahead and went through with it, mostly because I enlisted a lot of other people in it, and now I had some other people engaged in the process. But the most recent research says that the problem with announcing your goals publicly is that your brain thinks that you've already achieved it. And so you get the same satisfaction as if you've already accomplished the goal.
Actually, it takes your steam away.
It takes your steam away.
Yeah.
And so there's a very famous TED Talk by a guy named, I think it's Derek Sivers, who is the founder of CD Baby. And you can look for it on the TED website. We'll have a link in the show notes to it. But in it, he talks about this research. So don't share them publicly. But that doesn't mean you have to keep them private. And here's the difference. For me, I want to share them selectively. So not public, not private, two extremes, but I want to share them selectively with people that I know who are for me, people that I know will encourage me when I get discouraged, people who will hold me accountable, and people who won't engage in negative talk around me.
Okay.
So you got to be very selective because you can share your goals with people that are not safe to share your goals with. Like you share it with somebody that maybe is a family member who's seen you go through failures and they say, oh, really?
Do you think that's such a good idea?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you think that's such, it looks like compassion, but it's really
it's
holding
not,
you back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So sometimes, like I can share my goals with my spouse because she's really for me. Sometimes your spouse is not a safe person to share your goals with. I mean, I hate to say that, but you got to be selective. And this really kind of goes to the issue of who your friends are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I only want to have as part of my inner circle, doesn't mean I won't talk to people outside that circle, but inside of my inner circle, I want people that are holding me accountable so that I can become the best version of me that I can possibly be.
All right, good advice. All right, our final question that we've heard from you about your goal setting struggles is this. How do daily goals, monthly goals, annual goals fit into a person's overall life plan?
Well, I think they're all related, and the more in alignment those can be, the better. So for example, I have a life plan. My new book, Living Forward, talks about how to build a life plan. And my co-author, Daniel Harkavy, and I go into some depth about how to create a written life plan. Okay. So that's like the 30,000 foot view of your life.
Is that where you start? Do you start on the daily goal level or you start at the life plan?
I would start with the life plan.
And then move.
Or the annual plan.
Okay.
But you need a larger context for those daily goals to make sense. Otherwise, you're just mindlessly probably doing the urgent and probably being reactive.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Okay, good. So go back to
So anyway, the 30,000 foot view is the life plan. Then I would say the 10,000 foot view is the annual plan. And that's what we deal with 5 days to your best year ever. Sometimes people do those in reverse and that's fine. But the point is to get your nose above the clouds so that you can kind of see the horizon and see where you're going.
Okay.
So the annual plan, and then you can chunk that down into quarterly plans. Like I try to make sure that all those annual goals are spread throughout the year so that I got certain goals that are due each quarter.
Okay.
And then those get chunked down even further into my daily goals. I don't really do monthly goals, but I chunk those down into my daily goals, or I should say daily tasks. But I want all those daily tasks relating to those goals that I've set for the year.
And you've done this for a number of years in your life. You live this out all the
decades,
time.
Decades, yep.
Okay. All right. Well, again, today we've been talking about 10 of your questions about the struggles you have with goal setting. We've answered these 10. How should I prioritize goals? What kind of system should I establish? Is there a right number, too many or too few? How important is it to track my goals? And what apps should I use to track? How often should I review and adjust my goals throughout the year? Question number 7, how do I generate ongoing enthusiasm, especially during those messy middle seasons? Number 8, how do I handle failure or an unrealized goal? 9, is it better to share your goals in the public or keep it private? And then 10, how do daily goals, monthly goals, annual goals fit into an overall life plan? We've covered tons of territory today, but I'm sure you probably still have some questions. So I have good news for you. We are just about ready to open registration for Best Year Ever. Those of you that have been a part of it in years past, you know how incredibly valuable this course is. You do not want to miss it. We're just about ready to open registration. If something happens by the time you listen to this, registration's not open, you can make sure that you add yourself to the wait list. The web address is bestyearever.me, bestyearever.me. Don't hesitate, get on that list as soon as possible. We want to make sure that you have these resources at your fingertips before you start this next year. Do you have any final thoughts today, Michael?
You know, I think we'd go right back to where we began with dreams. You know, goal setting doesn't have any value in itself, except it's a process by which you can become all that you were created to be, mm-hmm. all the hopes that are in your heart, the things that you want to realize, the things that you want to see. All of that can be achieved with some intentionality. And so really what we're talking about is a process by how do you make those dreams become real.
Excellent. Well, if you've enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes as well as an entire transcript of everything we talked about at michaelhyatt.com. In addition, if you'd like to see the video instead of just audio, you can find that at michaelhyatt.com as well. Do us a favor before you go. You knew I was going to ask this. Head on over to iTunes. Take just a few seconds to rate this program. It makes a huge difference for getting this material into the hands of the right people. And we are so grateful. If you've enjoyed today's episode, we have many more to come. So make sure you come back and join us next time. Until then, remember, your life is a gift. Your one and only life. Now go make it count.